Welcome to the very first episode of Cause and Effect, a cosplay podcast, part of the White Dragon Podcast Network. My name is Rebecca Adams, otherwise known as Actress, and I will be your host on this journey through the wonderful world of costuming. Now, I guess that brings me to my very, very first topic. What exactly is cosplay? For those of you guys who don't know cosplay or have heard the word and don't really fully understand it, cosplay is literally costume play. It's the art of putting together a costume and going out and becoming the characters that you love, whether that's in the real world or in the fictional world or in Disney World. It doesn't matter. If you love characters and you put a costume together to become that character, then you are cosplaying. Now, there are a lot of different kinds of cosplayers out there. There are the kind of cosplayers who enjoy creating armor from scratch. Some people love sewing intricate gowns. There are cosplayers who love doing cosplay photography and cosplayers who love being judged at a competition. There are all kinds of different cosplayers, and just like our obsession with Pokemon Go right now, yes guys, I'm right there with you, I want to catch them all. I want to bring them on the show and really give you a full picture of what the cosplay world is all about, as well as tips and tricks, and talking about the really serious issues and really serious personal things that come along with cosplay. So we're going to touch on them all here on this podcast. I guess we'll start off with a little bit of backstory. I began cosplaying in 2006 after I had been to my first convention in 2005, which was San Diego Comic-Con. In that same year, I was introduced to an artist called Greg Horn, and he did the cover art for a series based on Emma Frost's origin stories. And Emma Frost is a character from the X-Men. I fell in love with this character. She was strong, and she was sexy, and she was powerful. And even though she was a villain, she was awesome. So when I went to that first convention, I had absolutely no expectations. I didn't know what to think. And what I found was a group of very passionate people who were talented and skilled, and none of them had to audition to be the characters that they loved. And coming from the acting world, that was a bonus, and I wanted to sign up right there. So I found Emma. I loved Emma. I wanted to be Emma. And so I decided in 2006 that I would put on a corset and a pair of underwear and some thigh-high boots and wander around in front of thousands of people at a convention. And that was the first little step into cosplay for me. And from there, goodness, year after year, there were amazing adventures with a group of amazing people. And I'm not talking about quality of cosplay. I'm actually talking about quality of humans. There's some of my best friends that I've met through the cosplay world, and that's amazingly awesome. 2013 found myself on a television show called Heroes of Cosplay, and that took me in a completely different direction in the cosplay world. Prior to that, I'd never really done competitions, not in cosplay. I've done pageants since I was 4, and this was a little bit different from that. So I learned to sew for myself, taught myself, with help from my roommate at the time. I learned how to make armor. I learned how to make weapons. I learned how to style wigs. And it really opened my eyes to how intricate this hobby is. And it also opened my eyes to how many different kinds of people were out there and how many people were looking for others that were like them and that were able to relate to each other. And that was awesome. And I loved that. And I loved having that platform. And I'm hoping to be able to kind of continue that with Cause and Effect and bring you new people to associate with and get tips and tricks and, you know, experience cosplay all together is one big family. And that, my friends, brings me to my very first guest. And our guest for the very first episode ever in the history of the world of Cause and Effect is the enormously talented, beautiful, strong, fitness-loving Alicia Marie. Now, Alicia, just as a quick overview, is not just a cosplayer, which she's getting very well known for. She's also a world-famous fitness model. You've seen her on the cover of Oxygen, of you name it, fitness magazine. She's probably been on the cover. She's also the writer of The Booty Bible. For those girls out there who want to get their booties looking slamming, for their cosplay. She's a gamer. She's a geek. And in my opinion, she is a living image of a superhero. So with all of that being said, welcome, Alicia.
Thank you for having me. Can I hire you as my PR agent?
Sure. That's
the best PR I've had in a long time.
Well, happy to help. So we're going to start with where most people, I think, start interviews. What got you into cosplaying?
What got me into cosplay? Okay. Let me go back just a few years. When I was around 8 or 9 years old, I was vacationing at like one of my extended family's houses. My cousin there had a bunch of comic books like stashed under his bed. And I was like 8. So I was, of course, curious. I dug them up and I started flipping through. Now, at 8, I was looking at comic books. I really didn't understand what I was looking at. Of course, the stories were all out of order and everything. What I fell in love with was how the female characters were, the mutants, the women, you name it, were portrayed and drawn by the artists. They all looked so beautiful and like sexy, but strong and like capable. And the 8-year-old Alicia was smitten. I was like, I want to look like this. And I remember she had all four of the She-Hulk, something like that. And I remember looking at them and going, and she was like, lifting weights in the comic book. And I was like, what is this? And I remember thinking to myself, I was wondering if a human can look like this. And when I realized that it was kind of workout related, I started working out like when I was 9 years old. I mean, working out for what a 9-year-old would be.
Right.
But, yeah, I literally wanted to look like a superhero. So, I collected comic books. I got into X-Men, Wonder Woman, of course. You know, what little girl didn't? But fast forward up into my 20s where I started like putting together costumes. Like they look nothing how my costumes look now, of course, but I was still putting things together. I was the weirdo who liked dressing in costumes when it wasn't Halloween.
Yeah. Yeah.
So now that cosplay is like a thing, here I am. But I mean, I've been designing costumes and putting things on for years. And now that my costume game has stepped up, of course, I've had to enlist the help of my friends who are talented in areas that I am not.
Yes.
And it's okay to be there. Like, I know what I can do and I know what I can't do.
Well, and it's funny because we were talking about this right before coming on to the interview here. As cosplayers, I think sometimes we don't always know what we can and can't do. I know I've been in this situation many times where you're halfway through your costume and you're like, what am I thinking?
Exactly. I feel like, I remember I was talking to an artist friend who, he draws Lady Mechanica. And he was saying how, we draw this beautiful art, and cosplayers are like, how do we make this like 3-dimensional to fit on an actual human body?
Right.
And I'm like, what are you doing to us?
Yeah. And as cosplayers, I think we all sort of feel the same way. It has to look precise. It has to look, the colors, everything. But most of the things aren't in a real world.
They're not meant to like live and exist on a 3-dimensional, moving human body.
Right.
I made a cosplay, for a character that's in the video game Defense of the Ancients. And I made the leg armor, and they look great standing still. If I have to move, it's going to shatter into a million pieces. So I learn.
Right.
But there are certain pieces. You not only do you have to create the items to fit on the body, it has to also move with you. And that's something that you only learn by doing it.
Exactly. Exactly.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
Now, you talk about armor, and I know that as a cosplayer myself, I have learned basically every kind of skill set that there is. I've always said that cosplay is sort of the Renaissance hobby where you have to learn to be a cobbler to make shoes. You have to learn how to be a jewelry maker to make jewelry. You have to learn how to be a wig stylist and a makeup artist and all of these things. What would you say has been the most interesting or hardest piece that you've learned as a cosplayer?
As a cosplayer. Okay. Well, one thing I've learned is that the first thing is when you, and this goes back to people asking me how to get into cosplay, is when you, there's a character you see that for some reason she or he just speaks to you. And you're like, I have to be that character and I'm going to do it. You get that picture, you color print it out, you put it up on your wall, and you start breaking down the pieces that are on that character? Like, what does that look like? Can I make that from something else? Is that something that can be done in real life? And then you actually start figuring out what materials you would need for each part. Mm-hmm. And that's where it gets interesting. Because I'm not a seamstress. So the things that I've done in my life that have to do with cloth, like any costumes I've made in the past have been hand-sewn.
Wow.
However, I once tried to use for a waist stretch hand-sewing it. No.
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 Wow.
So actually, for my stretch fabrics, I teamed up with Castle Corsetry. Lauren Matizek-Bregman, she's an incredible seamstress. She's a serger genius. Mm-hmm. Whenever there's a cosplay that requires stretch fabric, I just give my friend the work. Go for it. For me, I work better with 3D things like plastic, PVC, even metal, a little bit of leather. I can deal with that stuff. But the stretch fabrics for me, I need to go take classes or something. That for me, for some reason, is what my brain does not process as easy as anything else. Like, I can put on a freaking respirator and goggles and melt any plastic you want and turn it into something else. But you put spandex or lycra in front of me and I'm scared to death.
Yep, I'm right there with you. The sewing machine behind me, I don't know if you can see this or not, Alicia, but it's ancient. It's from like 1993 and it has a floppy drive. It's an embroidery machine with a floppy drive. So this is what I've taught myself on. And I know a lot of costumers out there who are probably learning on worse. But hey, we learned because it's a passion. So it's good. Yeah. All right, so that leads me to my next question. So out of the costumes that you've done so far, because it is a passion, what's been your favorite? What's been the absolute top of the line that you've already done?
Of all my cosplays?
Yes.
Hmm. Well, here's the thing. The internet knows me as Storm.
Mm-hmm.
So, of course, and plus because, you know, she will always hold a special place for her. So I will tell you this, that I plan on doing as many Storms as possible, like all the different versions. You know, a lot of times cosplay comes down to budget.
Oh, yeah.
materials can run you well into the hundreds of thousands, depending on what you're making.
Oh, yeah.
I was telling someone, a friend of mine was asking me about Warbler yesterday, and I was like, let me give it to you straight. You look at that costume, and I just see all the Warbler you're going to need for that. Prepare yourself to spend $2,000. What are you kidding? That's a full armor costume.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, oh, like one sheet of Warbler costs $100. What are you doing? But I think my favorite character to portray was Mortal Kombat Sonya Blade.
Mm.
Only because she was the first, like one of the first playable female characters that you can play in video game. And I just like the fact that she wasn't like, in video games, she wasn't like rescue. She wasn't a rescue female like Princess Peach.
Right.
She was a fighter and a playable fighter. And I remember I was like, when I was a kid, I was like, oh, and she looks like she belongs on like, what is it called? Bodies in Motion, that really old 80s fitness show. She had like a green, I was like, oh yeah, she's, oh. I mean, now she looks much hotter than she did, but back in the day, she looked like she belonged on the beach with Gilad Jankovic. Kiana Tom, I think, those fitness shows, whatever. But yeah, she's one of my favorites because of what she embodies and the fact that she's a general. And she's another one who I plan on doing more versions of her as well because I had a really good feedback from people on portraying Sonya Blade. So
yeah,
she makes me happy.
And I think that's true too. Like, I think that we all have costumes that we like because we like the look of it and we like the character. And then we have costumes that we just love playing. Like, we just love being.
And I tell people I have a lot of followers who aren't in the cosplay community. So for them, cosplay is like still very new and interesting and we're still very strange to people. So they're asking, you know, like, how do I get into cosplay? I'm like, well, cosplay is not, cosplayers refer to Halloween as cosplay light.
Yeah.
Cosplay is not just putting on the costume. It's like we actually try to embody the character when we're in costume. Like we do the role play, we do the poses, we try to you know, act as. Like that cosplay you just did, the one on stilts.
Oh gosh, yes, Chernabog. Night on Bald Mountain.
That was a, and that's what I mean. I was like, you know what, I feel her in that costume. That's awesome. Like we literally take it there with the body paint, the contact, the teeth, you know, the nails. We will take it there. So one thing I like to tell people, like, even though cosplay exists on like a range, like from the bounding to the level 5 full on, you know, LED lights.
Yeah.
Cosplay is about embodying that character. So for me, whenever I'm cosplaying, there's a reason why I'm cosplaying that character. And it's not just because I think I look like her. It's usually because she does something for me. And that's why you're usually not going to see me doing, you'll see me doing She-Ra before you see me doing like Sailor Moon.
Right.
Saying it's about who I am and, you know.
Yeah. Oh, definitely. Definitely. That's why I do Pinkie Pie and Mabel, because that's my personality. And it's a lot easier to walk around a convention like, oh, my goodness, I'm Pinkie Pie than it would be. You know, I don't think I could pull off She-Ra. For me, I'd be like, look at me trying to be strong. Oh, my goodness. We're seeing this. Oh, my goodness.
Yes, I'm showing you that. Actually, you guys can't see this, but I'm showing Rebecca. And get the hand forward version of She-Ra, sort of. Oh, yay!
That is amazing. Oh my goodness, that's beautiful.
I love it. Yeah, it's like, but this is handmade. This is leather. This is a doorknob.
Oh my gosh, the crystal at the end. Yeah, it's like one of those little crystal doorknobs that you put on drawers.
Yeah. Yeah, so yeah, I love this thing. I love a lot of weapons. You probably do too.
Yes, yeah. I actually have an axe in my closet right now, and it's for nothing else except cosplay. It's a giant axe, but I love that stuff. I love props. It's fantastic. That's awesome. Okay, speaking of the kind of characters you do, you're obviously sort of from the fitness world as well. What advice would you give cosplayers? Because I know a lot of cosplayers out there are very, not self-conscious, but very conscious of how they look in their costumes, especially, you know, like Comic-Con is coming right up and things like that, getting ready for a convention. What advice would you get them to get in their heads in the best place?
You know what? It's interesting because the cosplay community tends to be very creative. And I think it's it comes off as very positive. And I think that's why so many people look at me and look at you and say, wow, these people look so happy. You know, I would love to be getting into cosplay. But on the flip side, you know, because of what we do, we're not just artists. We're also performance artists. So what that means is opening yourself up to public scrutiny. Okay? We love our cosplays. We get dressed up in them. We walk around conventions, get pictures taken with people. We take pictures ourselves, and we put them up for public consumption. So what that means is, you have to be ready for whatever comes back, good or bad. And trust me, I get both.
Wow.
I get very bad, and I get very good, too, though. In that, people are very sensitive still. So a lot of people, you know, get in a cosplay, and they're worried that they're not going to look good in the cosplay, and they're going to get crap back from the web. Who cares? If you want to do the costume, and you think you can pull it off, and you like the character, and you want to be that character, whatever, freaking do it up. Throw it on. Who cares what the world thinks? But you really have to believe that inside. Or one like snotty comment from someone who you don't know, who does not pay your bills, is going to bother you.
Right.
You can't say anything bad. Having said all that, I will say everybody wants to look their best. No matter. And there's nothing more rewarding than feeling good about yourself. Whether you're a size 12, 15, 20, size 2, everybody wants to like who they are. So, and this all comes from like the cause positive movement. I like that. I think it's special because I know people of all shapes and sizes who, and that's why another reason why I like that. They do panels at some conventions, all shapes and sizes, people to feel more positive about just cosplaying no matter what size you are.
Yes.
I love all that stuff. I'm pro, you know, the pro cosplay, whatever. But my fitness advice would be, in general, a lot of people don't take into consideration how important staying on track is. I think if I could give people one piece of advice about getting in shape, here's your word. Print it out, put it on your wall, look at it every day. Consistency. Consistency. Most people will get all gung-ho about going to the gym. We'll go to the gym 4 days, 5 days, 6 days in 1 week, and the next week, not go at all. And then the next week, go 1 day. And then the next week, go 2 days. No. as a fitness expert, I can tell you that is the one thing that I see the most that people do wrong and then wonder why they're not seeing any results whatsoever.
Right.
That's the secret. It's if you say you're going to go to the gym 4 or 5 days a week, guess what? You have to go those 4 or 5 days a week, and you have to do it consistently. So that's the trick. And I think what most people forget is getting in shape, it's a mind game. It's never going to be, as a kid, it's fun running around and hiding under things and rolling on the ground. As an adult, not so much.
Yeah.
So you kind of have to, I like to say, brainwash yourself into believing that you want to do this for you, because this is another, I tend to go off track because I'm the biggest ADHD person in the world. But one thing I'd like to tell new people that I only work with a few people, but is to protect your inner dialogue, protect your gym self-esteem. People on their way to the gym are like, I hate this. I don't want to do this. I hate this. I hate the gym. I don't want to do this. As they're going to the gym, this is the dialogue that's playing in their head. Don't you think you're going to be miserable the entire time you're at the gym if that's what you're thinking? I hate these shoes. I hate this machine. I hate this workout. I can't wait to get out of here. If you keep, you're never going to enjoy the process, ever. In fact, it's going to become more and more miserable to the point where you never go.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to be your own cheerleader. And so here's your visual aid. You have in your mind this cosplay that you want to rock out to the best of your ability, body-wise, feeling-wise, whatever. Use that in your head as you're getting into your new diet, nutrition, whatever workout program. Say to yourself, I can't wait to do this. I'm going to freaking kill it. On the way to the gym, I'll be on the freaking stepmill machine telling myself, go, go, go. People probably think I'm a crazy person, but that's how I have to pump myself up, because it's really easy to slide into the negative and then end up not doing anything and then blaming everybody else, including yourself, for not being able to finish your workout and nutrition program. You have to, it is an everyday thing, every day. Not one day, not every other day, it's every day. You have to wake up and tell yourself, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do it. And I do it too, and I've been doing this for decades.
Wow. No, that's really, really good advice. I need to take that myself. So that's awesome.
You have to, everybody, even the most, even people you see online on Instagram of perfect body, they, whatever perfect body is in your own definition.
Air quotes.
Yep. Believe me, they get up in the morning and they say, guess what? It's getting done.
Mm-hmm.
They do not, you have to adult yourself. You have to adult yourself. It's too easy to say, instead I'll stay home and sit on the couch and have a cupcake and do nothing, but then you'll be miserable. Why not do something for yourself?
Absolutely.
Tear it up.
All right. Before we jump into our game, we have one more thing to talk about, and that is the TikTok app. Tell us what this is.
Of course I have to bring up TikTok, because one thing about social media, which I love, is that I'm believe it or not, I can be kind of an introvert. So social media has allowed me to be less shy and to connect with people that I would not normally connect with for fear of, oh God, how are people going to think about me? Yes, I do think about that too. Okay. in that, on all of my different platforms, I have, like, my message boxes have become inundated. Almost to the point where I'm like my Facebook's gone. That I'm way, like, 20,400 messages in. Instagram, same thing. Twitter, same thing. Mailbox is just full. So, but I hate the fact that I was missing people's questions and people's inquiries. I mean, they were just going, falling to the cracks. Everything. So then I would get people saying, oh, but I want to train with you, but I don't do personal consulting, one-on-one. I don't do one-on-one consulting fitness packages anymore because there's no time to work with one person at a time like that. No time. So what TikTok, it's a one-on-one like messaging app. It's like text messaging your friend, basically. It allows me to add that to my overall business, but people don't have to worry about buying some big nutrition and fitness plan for me, or, you know, worrying about their message to me getting lost in the fray. They can just go to TikTok, download the app, work it, find me, and just ask me piecemeal questions when they feel like it. I get questions on cosplay, questions on fitness, diet. I got questions on beauty supplies and like skincare the other day. I've been getting questions from all over the world. So it's really helping me to expand my business and to help people at the same time who really just want to ask me a question but can't seem to get to me on social media.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, and there are, I mean, there are other experts as well. Like I was telling you before the broadcast began, I mean, there are experts on TikTok that do like paranormal activity sort of stuff. So, I mean, it's really been very interesting. I'm liking the fact that I'm getting to talk to people who are like, I've been trying to find you. And I was like, I can't even, my inbox is done.
Right.
So, yeah, TikTok has really, it's really helped me to talk, just get in touch with people who can't. That's all. So,
that's cool. That's awesome. What a great idea. I like that.
Next for me is San Diego Comic Con.
Oh, boy.
Next up for me.
All right. Right before we go, at the end of all of my podcasts, we like to play a game. And the game that you got tonight is Would You Rather? So
what?
Would you rather? So would you rather this or would you rather that?
Oh, gosh.
They're easy. It's not hard. Okay. So here's your first one. Would you rather cosplay as a boy, crossplay, or would you rather make a fursuit?
So cosplay as a boy.
Mm-hmm.
Or a furry?
Yes.
A boy. I have really androgynous features. Like, I have a very strong jawline. I should be cosplaying. I should be. So at some point, I'm going to. My problem is that I'm in love with female characters. So, believe me, trust me, I look like an elf and I look like an alien. So the cosplay is coming.
I want to see that. I want to see that. Okay, next question. Would you rather judge or be judged?
Judge. That's like not even like, are you, oh my gosh, like, yeah. Definitely. I'm telling, it's funny because I was just telling my fiance this, boyfriend, fiance, whatever you want to call him. I was just telling him this morning is when I was competing in fitness, I used to compete in stage fitness competition. I knew it was the end for me. Like, after I got my pro card and all that was said and done, I knew I was done competing when I stood on the last stage I was on and looked at those judges and didn't even want to be there. Because I was like, ew, I know I look better than everyone. I don't need to tell you that. I was like, I don't need you fools behind that table to tell me I don't look good or how I look.
Yeah.
And I remember being on stage and having that attitude and like being like, I already know I look good to me. That's all I need.
Right.
That's what I realized. So I would rather, I think, be the judge, which I don't mind doing, but then to be up on no.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Okay. Next question. Would you rather style a wig or sew a dress?
Wait, say that again. Slow.
Would you rather style a wig or sew a dress?
Style a wig.
Okay.
Oh my God. Yes. So I actually do that anyway. So one of my favorite parts about cosplays is, and this does drive me crazy about cosplayers. This is my one problem with cosplayers. People will put so much energy into their costume. I'm talking, I've seen things hand sewn, constructed using major, like, I mean, armor, just amazing makeup, everything head to toe done completely character accurate. And then they throw on like a $10 Party City wig.
Yeah.
I'm like, hello. Your wig is part of the costume. And that a gross wig throws me off on the whole cosplay. So in my opinion, I'm like, if you want to start with the wig, start with the wig. The wig should look like it matches the rest. The wig should look as good as the rest of your costume. That's how I feel. So that's when I started realizing what bothered me about certain cosplays is that I was like, I'm putting energy into my wig. And I think that's like the topper. So in fact, one of the reasons I'm doing Storm again is because I actually redid her wig, the mohawk sort of. And it looks so amazing, I can't wait to rock it.
That's awesome. I can't wait to see the pictures. Okay, and the final one is, and this one is a little bit, there are a few more would you rathers on this one. So would you rather portray a cartoon character, an anime character, a character from a movie, like a live action character, or a character from a video game?
Oh, wow. That's such a good question. I like this game. I usually do not like cosplaying humans. There are a couple I would that I am like, you know what, I'm going to have to do that just because I kind of look like the character. I'm like, I might do it, but it doesn't excite me as much as playing superhumans or playing things that can't exist in nature. So that is definitely choice number four. Anime, I'm too new to anime in order to, I don't know, the animes that I even know about very well, like there's a few like Bleach, mm-hmm. and maybe Kill Kill, maybe, so I mean, Record of Lotus War, like I know the older ones kind of, so I don't know, and then also it wasn't like I grew up looking at anime characters and thinking, wow, they're built.
Right.
they're not.
Right.
And then there's cartoon characters, maybe, but I'm going to say video game characters because they are always kick-ass.
Yeah.
Always. I mean, and believe me, I've seen, like, all the debates online with how women are drawn in video games can be a little salacious. Like, I know Dead or Alive taking a hit, Street Fighter's taking a hit, but at the end of the day, there are still some that really still are very inspirational. And I understand the sex appeal. That's what they're going for, whatever. It doesn't bother me. There are worse things in the world to me for me to worry about than, oh, there's some boobs. Who cares?
We've all got them. We've all got them.
Come on. Stop. It's just boobs. Relax.
Yep.
It's definitely going to be a video game character. And in fact, I want to do in the future definitely more of the characters that I played or characters that I know. So, and I will give you a hint on San Diego. There's a video game character coming.
Ooh.
A new one.
Ooh. I can't wait. I miss going to San Diego because obviously now that I live on the other side, I don't get to go. I don't get to go anymore, but at least I get to see all of the pictures. Like, at least I can see what everybody does and, you know, ogle all of the beautiful girls and.
That's exactly it. It should be quite big this year. I'm glad it's going. And I'm also in a comic book that is debuting, and I can't say anything because of NDA, but I'm in a comic book that is debuting in San Diego. So that I will have up on my social media is Alicia Marie Body everywhere. So
I was just going to ask you that. I was just going to end with, tell us where to find you.
Alicia Marie Body, and yes, it's cheesy, but I've had it for years, and now I can't get away from it.
Yep. Right there with you, actress. Right there with you. All right, Alicia, as always, it was so awesome talking to you, and I hope to get to run into you at an event someday.
What is your next con up here? What is your next con? Do you know?
My next con, as far as I know, right now, is LA Cosplay Con again next June or July. Yeah.
No.
I know. You have to come here. You have to come to this post.
I think that might be a dare. Look for me.
Yeah. Awesome. Thank you so much, Alicia. You have a killer day and keep going on those costumes, even when you feel like you can't.
Thank you so much. Bye, guys. Thank you for listening.
Thanks so much for tuning into Cause and Effect, a cosplay podcast here on the White Dragon Podcast Network. Be sure to tune into next week's podcast. But in the meantime, follow me on Facebook at Rebecca Denise Actress. You can find me on Twitter at Actress. And basically, if you Google Actress, A-K-T-R-E-Z, you'll probably find me. In the meantime, keep being creative, keep making magic, and I'll see you real soon.